Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. That's 800-410-4771.
Rick Tittle knows his sports.
I hate that guy.
I love that guy. Oh my gosh, he's so fine. Rick Tittle brings home the bacon, fries it up in a pan, and then he eats it.
Ricky T in the hizzle for shizzle, biznatch.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you. Connor Prelip, he's a left-handed pitcher for the University of Alabama, who was projected by a lot of media outlets to be the number one overall pick in the June amateur draft, has just been told that he will need Tommy John surgery, and he will be out all of this year and 2022. His college ERA was a 0.96. His strikeout to walk ratio was 6.7. And he's 20 years old. And he was at his fastball's at 96. He has a filthy 90 mile per hour slider. A lot of people said he was a lot like Asa Lacy, who went in the draft last year, but he was the dynamic force, not just for the Crimson Tide. But so this is one of these draft and stash types of deals. Remember when Todd Van Poppel was coming out of high school in Texas, he said, "Don't draft me number one overall pick, Braves, because your organization stinks." And then they went on to win like 14 straight divisions. But the A's did draft him, by the way. So the Braves took this kid, Larry Jones Jr., but he had just had ACL surgery, and he would be out a year, so they'd have to wait a year before he could play. That was Chipper Jones. So Connor Prelip, I feel bad for him, I really do, but in a way, it's like it's almost like when you have your Mormon mission. Have you had it yet? It's like if you're a pitcher, have you had your Tommy John yet? So, do you still draft this kid and stash him? There were some people who thought Sean Manaea coming out of Indiana State was going to be the number one overall pick, but then he had hip surgery, so he dropped to the Royals in the first round. So, right now they're saying that there is a Florida high school outfielder named Elijah Green who's now going to be the number one overall pick. That's pretty good for a high school senior now to be that kid. But Connor Prelip, draft and stash. You think it's going to take him a couple years to get up to the bigs anyway, and he's already a college pitcher. I don't know. I'm sure he'd be worth the chance. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, don't worry. There's a bright side. The experts at BrightsideTaxRelief.com will protect you from having your wages garnished, money deducted from your bank account, and your home or business seized. BrightsideTaxRelief.com will fight the IRS and negotiate to reduce or eliminate the amount you owe. Visit BrightsideTaxRelief.com or call 800-730-4313. That's 800-730-4313. The consultation is free. Go to BrightsideTaxRelief.com. Now.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how
simple it is right now by calling for your free page publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
And now today's cleaning tip from Tubbatowel's Heavy Duty Cleaning Wipes. Most people are disinfecting more frequently these days. But did you know there's a difference between disinfecting and cleaning? Cleaning is the first step before disinfecting, and is needed on a regular basis to remove germs, dirt, and dust from surfaces. Plus, keeping a clean surface helps minimize the growth of future germs. And now a word from Tubbatowel's.
At Tubbatowel's, we started with the toughest messes and quickly realized Tubbatowel's heavy-duty cleaning wipes can clean just about anything, like stubborn brake dust, spilled paint, even permanent marker. There's literally thousands of uses. Proudly made in the USA with over 30,000 five-star reviews. Find Tubbatowel's heavy-duty cleaning wipes at your local auto parts store, the Home Depot, Lowe's, and more. Look for the big yellow tub.
All right. Is that a Q2 or a Q3 expense?
Dwayne's CPA went MIA.
W-9.
To keep his books and his sanity, he needs to find a replacement ASAP.
Hey, Johnny, have you ever heard of a fungible good?
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour two of Titillating Sports. You thought it couldn't get any better, but it's better. Rick Tittle is back. He's so great. I can't believe how awesome he is. More sports talk, yes. Couldn't get any better, but it's better. Rick Tittle is back. He's so great. I can't believe how awesome he is. More sports talk, yes. Hour two of Titillating Sports.
Hey, check out Channel 9. Check out Rick Tittle.
All right, check me out. Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you in San Francisco, but around the world, syndicated and on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show a two-time World Series champion, Jim Leyritz. He's here on behalf of AthleteDirect.com, another brainchild of our friend Brandon Steiner. Jim, welcome to the show. AthleteDirect.com, is this a way of taking your memorabilia and making it easier for the shoppers to access? What's going on here?
Yeah, Rick, hey, appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's one of those situations where, you know, there's been so much out there that, you know, that you cannot trust sometimes what you're getting, what you're ordering, whether it's coming directly from the athlete or is it something that somebody, you know, it's developed a fake. I mean, there's so many things out there that have been happening. And, you know, Brandon has had the name in the business, the reputable name in the business for many, many years. And this is just another one of his brainchilds that says, listen, you know what? Why don't we do a couple different things? You can get memorabilia, you can get product, but you can also directly connect with the athlete. And, you know, you can do some fun things by directly connecting. Kind of like what Cameo and some of the other companies are doing, but doing it more directly with the athletes.
Very cool. You know, and I heard you're going to be on the show. Obviously, we think about your days with the Yankees and the heroic events, but you played for the Kentucky Wildcats, and I was out here in the Bay Area. We had a few Wildcats. We had Colin Cowgill with Oakland. We had William Van Landingham with the Giants. What was it like in those days playing for the Wildcat baseball team?
Yeah, see, back then, it was funny. I just did a podcast for Rex Chapman the other day. And, you know, Rex is a former UK guy. And he got there the year after I had signed with the Yankees. But I went back for my last semester in his first year at Kentucky. And, you know, he was Mr. Basketball back then. But, you know, playing baseball for Kentucky back then, we were like the third fiddle. You had basketball, which was, you know, to this day, the biggest thing. Mm-hmm. And then football was just starting to get, you know, pretty good. And baseball was kind of like the third fiddle. So it was a little bit different. But, you know, I just, it was really awesome just to be part of University of Kentucky. And of course, you know, I was a basketball fan growing up. So for me, it was a special treat to be there.
Sure. And you're also one of those guys who, with your batting stance, you know, which was unorthodox, how many hitting coaches on the way up said, all right, we're starting over here because you can't hit like that? I mean, I like the hitting coaches that say, hey, look, whatever works for you, let's do it. But I'm sure there were guys who said, no, this is all wrong. How did you yeah. fight that off?
Yeah, it was interesting. My first year in Double A, I had just come up from Fort Lauderdale. I led the league in hitting and came up to Double A the next year. And Darren Johnson was our hitting coach. And Darren was, you know, he was a swing from the heels and that, you know, type of hitter, a home run type of guy, but not much of an average guy. And, you know, he saw me in batting practice one day hitting some balls out because I had some power, but I wasn't, I was more like, you know, almost like a Wade Boggs type of guy where I had the power, but I used more discipline to hit the ball because I wanted to hit for average. And he convinced me my first year, you need to listen to me. You need to do this. And he had me change my stance to hit like Eric Davis. And if you remember Eric Davis,
sure.
You know, he had a crazy different stance. And I think I ended up hitting like 252 or 255 that year. And I did hit a few more home runs, but not that much more. And I just said, I came back the next year and Darren Johnson was gone. And we had, you know, Buck Showalter was the coach. And, you know, Buck had me in Fort Lauderdale when I led the league in hitting. And he said, Jimmy, go back to what you were doing back then. And I did, and sure enough, in 1989, I hit 315, and I led the league in hitting again. So, yeah, it's one of those situations that sometimes when it's not broke, don't try to fix it. And, you know, and people always ask me, can you teach my kid to hit like you did? And I said, well, the reason I hit like that is because out of high school, I broke my ankle or my foot, and I couldn't swing for 4 weeks, and that's how that stance came about. So if you want to teach your kid to do that, you're going to have to break his foot. I don't think you want to do that.
It's funny you mentioned Darren Johnson because we're about the same age. And being an Oakland guy, those three World Series teams, he was kind of a hero for us in 73
oh, yeah.
in the World Series. And the next year, Charlie Finley cut him. So
yep.
it was kind of a weird thing. But I remember Pete Rose said that he never saw a guy hit the ball harder than Darren Johnson.
Yeah, you know, I had two hitting coaches that was said about both of them was Frank Howard and Darren Johnson.
Wow.
And those are two pretty powerful guys.
Yeah, Frank Howard, legend. Also, I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, because you played all over the diamond, but you were sort of Andy Pettitte's, like, personal catcher, right? And
yeah.
If he was pitching, you were in the lineup no matter who the other pitcher was, right?
Yeah, it actually started in 1995 when Andy first got called up. He was having trouble throwing to Mike Stanley, and he thought Mike couldn't handle some of his pitches that he had, the little cutter that he had that was really, you know, his main pitch. And one day walked into Buck Showalter's office and said, Buck, and, you know, Jimmy's been catching me in the bullpen in my work days. I like the way he frames the ball and, you know, and catches me. Can you give him a chance to catch? You know, I want to throw to him. And Buck said, sure, we'll do it. And, well, we went out and we had a great game, and we ended up going 9-3 for the rest of that season. And then, of course, Buck gets fired and 96 comes and Joe Torre comes back and, you know, takes over. And Andy walked right in and said, Joe, I want Jimmy to be my catcher. Is that possible? And Joe said, hey, listen, he'll catch you 99% of the time. But if we got a tough left-hander pitching, I want to get Girardi's bat in the lineup too for a right-hander. And so I can't promise you every time, but Jimmy will catch you the majority of time. And sure enough, I think we were 19-7 that year. So just a good, you know, a good relationship and an opportunity for me to be in the lineup every day.
No, good stuff. And obviously we remember you as a Yankee, but you played for a lot of other teams after that in short stints. So what was it like when you walk out at Fenway and you're wearing a Red Sox uniform? I'm sure there were a lot of fans that still hated you, right?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, the good thing that is, I had 1 year break. I went from the Yankees, I went to the Angels and the Rangers in 97. And it was kind of a, you know, all right, Larrence is no longer a Yankee. It's okay. He can come to Boston now. It wasn't like a Johnny Damon or, you know, these guys that from 1 year they're a Red Sox, the next year they're a Yankee. It's a lot harder to, you know, to embrace somebody like that. I kind of felt like I was pretty embraced, but the one thing that I got the Boston fans on my side as soon as I showed up is I did my first interview and they said, what is it like for you to come, you know, to Boston after playing for New York. And I said, well, believe it or not, I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. The Big Red Machine was my team back in the, you know, in the 70s. And I was a bat boy for the Reds in 74, 75, 76, the big years.
Wow.
And my biggest memories as a kid is the Red Sox series against the Reds with Carlton Fisk's home run, mm-hmm. with all the stuff that happened with Eddie Harmbruster and all the stuff that happened during that series. That's my memories. I was more excited to play my first game in Fenway than I was Yankee Stadium because it was part of my childhood. And I won the Boston fans over right away when I said that.
That's some great stuff. All right, before we go, at athletedirect.com, what are some of the items you got going, Jim?
Yeah, you know, I wrote a book in 2011 that really wasn't much publicized just because of the time that we were going through and things that were happening. But my book's on there. Of course, we have the 25th anniversary of the 96 home run, which is, you know, probably to this date one of my biggest moments. And then, of course, we have pictures and some product of the 1999 last home run of the century. But the other great thing about it is reaching out to the fans directly and having a conversation or calling a kid on his birthday and actually directly connecting with him. I think that's some of the great things that Brandon's doing, you know, with this. And of course, you know, he's partnering up besides myself. You know, he's got Mark Messier, he's got Aaron Boone. He's actually getting coaches with Tom Coughlin. So he's doing a great job of bringing in a good group of guys that people will probably be excited to hear from and connect with. And of course, get some of that memorabilia. That's part of the Yankee history.
There it is. Athletedirect.com. Check it out. We've been speaking with World Series champion Jim Leyritz. Hey, Jim, enjoyed the conversation, man. Thanks for stopping by. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, Rick. Thanks for having me.
All right. Good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back. We'll talk a little rugby sevens.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-399-3691. 800-399-3691. That's 800-399-3691.
I'm going to tell you how you can get real health care for as little as $6 a day. Yes, now you can get affordable health care for you and your family immediately and save as much as 50% off your current monthly health care payments. Our plans are perfect for people that are self-employed, can't afford health benefits where they work, or just want to pay less for their current health care. And coverage is guaranteed regardless of your medical condition. We even offer some of the new Christian faith-based health benefits. Save up to 50% on your family's health care. Make a free quick call now. There are no contracts, and we give you a 10-day money-back trial period. Call Provision Enrollment right now for your risk-free guaranteed health insurance quote starting at $6 a day.
800-472-5145. 800-472-5145. That's 800-472-5145.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and the annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
It doesn't really matter. I don't like my job, and I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
Tittle thinks there's a direct correlation between dogs and lightning.
I think a lot of dumb stuff. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show one of the best rugby seven players in the world. And he's one of our own. He's an American named Perry Baker. And Perry, it's funny that I say that, but when I think about the great rugby players, I do think about guys overseas. So the USA is been making a name for itself, especially since you've been playing. How has it changed in the last like 10-15 years?
Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Rick, but it's changed so much, man, drastically. I mean, like, you have like the MLR, which is the Major League Rugby, which is 15s going on now, and then we're starting up here in the fall with the PR7s, which is Premier Sevens League now. And you just have guys who are finding out about it. It's more known now in the States, you know. It's one of the fastest growing sports. So a lot is changing, man. It's like when I first started, it was only club teams that was being played. It was hard to even get games going and stuff like that. But now word of mouth is the game is growing and it's getting out there, man. So it's changed drastically. And then it's just the talent with it, you know. Like people are starting at the younger ages now. Like I know when I came out, moved to California from the East Coast, there was guys that was playing in high school already. So it's just changed a lot. And then just the knowledge of the game, being able to pick the game up at a younger age.
And you're a man after my own heart, Perry, because I was also a D2 football player. So
okay.
and it's funny because they tried to get me to play rugby, and it was so foreign to me with passing the ball backwards. And I'm like, I don't get it. So for you, I'm sure there was a transition for you, too, when somebody said, hey, why don't you try this? Now, you took to it like a fish to water, but how was it for you when they said, why don't you try this thing?
Well, when I first was taught rugby, I wasn't taught anything, really. Honestly, I wasn't. I wasn't taught how to pass. I wasn't taught anything. It was just that I was really fast. And I was 18 years old, a young kid. I was really fast at the time. And I played, like I said, it was a men's club. And it was club rugby, so there's a big different level there. So being 18, playing with guys that are 24 and maybe pushing 30, I was a lot faster than those guys. So I wasn't taught anything. Now, when I was taught how to pass, I was taught so many different ways how to pass, and I didn't grasp to any of it until I got to where I am now with the national team. And it was a little different from being able to how you throw a football to how you actually hold and pass a rugby ball. But just like with anything, repetition, like it comes like easy work, you know. So it became pretty easy to get the feel of how to pass, and you just know, like, when you do it right, the feeling that you get, like, that felt good, the ball looked good, and all that good stuff. But the biggest transition for me was just the contact part, which was the tackling part for me.
Yeah.
And it's because in football, you know, you either use your shoulder or you just dive at someone's legs or you just use your head kind of deal. And if rugby was all about actual, you have to have the short form of wrapping, you know, and knowing how to put your head out of the way. In football, you're taught put a hat on the ball, and rugby is the other way around. You put a hat on the ball, you end up breaking your neck or your face. So it's just that little transition and knowing how to be patient when the contact part was there.
And in football, you don't have to tape your ears down so they don't get ripped off, right?
That's why you tape your ears in rugby for sure, just so you don't get the cauliflower ear, because you're always getting it rolled up on, rolling your ear and stuff like that.
Yeah, a couple more questions for Perry Baker with the new Premier Rugby Sevens. As I mentioned, D2, you went to Fairmont State, and I looked up famous alums outside of yourself, and okay. Herbert Morrison is the guy who did the video and audio footage of the Hindenburg disaster. So with that in mind, with your fellow alum, every time you get a try, you should just yell, "Oh, the humanity."
Hey, someone always paved the way before we got here, you know, so to give Freddie Thomas back.
All right, so how are we looking for Japan and the Olympics? And I hopefully, knock on wood, everything goes smoothly. I know there's no away fans that'll be welcome, but how are we looking for Team USA?
I mean, we're looking pretty good. I mean, we're finally now able to get a little tournaments under our belts where we're able to play, because our season ended in 2020 of March. So we hadn't played until a year later, you know, and it was just exhibition tournament. So, and then we have another one coming up here in June 25th, right before we go to Tokyo, actually. We have a little tournament that we get to play in. So it's good. I mean, everything's going well. Like you said, hopefully it happens. I mean, it's been a long time coming with everything that's going on with the pandemic and everything. So hopefully it happens. If it does, just be good to get back out there and play. It's really sad that fans can't come. I was watching NBA playoffs yesterday and just seeing how the Madison Square Garden was going crazy with fans finally back in. It was just so unreal to me. And it's just like, it just makes you realize like how important it is for fans. Like for me, because I love playing in front of crowds and just feel their energy. So it's a little shock. It's a little devastating that they're not there, but still in and out, it's cool that it's going to happen still. And we get to go out there and finally play some rugby.
Let's talk about a couple of your teammates, like Carlin Isles, Madison Hughes. You guys got threats all over the place, don't you?
A little bit. I guess you could say that. You know, I mean, we fight hard. We try. I mean, we got weapons here and there, you know. And it's a little tough just because, like I said, like we were talking earlier, it's like guys grew up playing that sport, and that's their national sport. That's what they do. And mm-hmm. Here we are. We got a little guys we throwing in from crossover sports like Carlin. Maddie played soccer a little bit. He also played rugby, but just throwing guys in from a little bit of everything and bringing them together, you know, it's pretty sweet. But we got some weapons, and we're fighting.
Let's talk a little bit after the Olympics as you come home, and we mentioned that we're going to have Premier Rugby Sevens. It's going to be kind of a barnstorming thing, right?
For sure it is. And that's pretty exciting. Like, it's something that's long overdue that should have happened forever ago. I mean, it's so exciting just by putting a teaser out that this is coming. Like, fans are really attracting to it now, and they want to know so much more about it. So this is pretty something pretty sweet that's happening. Like, I feel Sevens is so exciting, and it's so fast to grasp hold to and understand what's going on. So looking forward to it and really excited about it.
I had Nate Ebner on the show a couple weeks ago. Is he still part of the setup with the national team?
He is. He's back now. He's working his way to get back into the squad. And like the squad is open for anyone. It's just if you come in and you're dedicated to working hard and putting the time in, hey, anything can happen. And he's coming and he's putting his time in. He's working hard. So we'll see what happens.
You know, when I think about when you play, rugby league or you play 11-on-11 and you got those huge scrums, and with you guys, you can hardly call it a scrum. It's like three guys. But do you still play, quote-unquote, regular rugby anymore? And when you do, does it feel like a traffic jam's out there?
I mean, it's all rugby. It's just, like you said, less people, but we still do it. I remember watching just a couple of weeks ago, I was watching, like, highlights from when we were in Twickenham a couple years ago, mm-hmm. and Scotland was playing South Africa, and they throw a line out and they bring the ball down. Instead of passing the ball out like we normally do and use the width, they build a mall and drove it in and scored. So yeah, it still happens. Just how you utilize your weapons and how to set up stuff for your opponent. So yeah, it's all the same. Like breakdown, you still have to come and build a ruck over it. And sometimes it's two and three guys in there trying to help fight because teams are trying to push it over to get the ball. it's all rugby, you know. It's just less people. And sevens is just a lot faster, and I feel, like I said, more exciting because it's faster paced, it's less time, like quick 7-minute halves, and 14 minutes the game is over. But in that last, like, 10 seconds, 5 seconds, the game is won. So it's so exciting to me, man.
Crazy stuff. Very exciting. Perry Baker's been with us. He was the World Rugby Sevens Player of the Year in 2017 and 2018. He'll be part of Premier Rugby Sevens. Go to PR7s and spell out the word sevens. PR7s.com for more information. And flying the flag for all of us in Tokyo this summer. Perry, thanks for coming on, and best of luck, man.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Rick.
All right. Good stuff. And, you know, I think it's great that these sports or quote-unquote fringe sports are becoming more mainstream. And when I was growing up, one of those fringe sports was soccer. And my high school didn't even have a soccer team until my sophomore year. It was just football, basketball, baseball. That was it. We didn't grow up with soccer, any of that. And now you look at high school teams, they have a beach volleyball team. There are lacrosse teams all over the place. Some of them actually have cricket teams. And rugby sevens is pretty cool. And, of course, rugby sevens is easier to do because you only need 14 guys. All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come on back on Sports Byline.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
Hi, this is Ron Barr, and I've got great news for anyone suffering from ongoing pain due to aging, overexertion, and the effects of everyday living. Relief Factor is a 100% research-based formula that was created to combat the root causes of inflammation. Relief Factor is designed to address sore muscles, stiff joints, aches, and the general discomfort you may feel. There are four key ingredients, and each approaches the body's natural inflammatory response function from a different metabolic pathway. And they've got something special for Sports Byline Network listeners. You can get their three-week quick start program for just $19.95. That's only 95 cents a day. Head to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-500-8384. Relief Factor helps to support a healthy response to inflammation and decreases discomfort from the effects of daily living, and you can get yours at ReliefFactor.com or by calling 1-800-500-8384. Your life, your freedom. Get back to living at ReliefFactor.com.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
You're crazy, man. You're crazy. I like you, but you're crazy.
I saw Rick Tittle at the laundromat last night, and I was hella checking him out. I just kept staring at him, and he played like I wasn't even there. I be like that then.
All right, already. Jeez Louise. Rick Tittle with you in San Francisco, but syndicated and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. And it's our pleasure to welcome to the show a couple guys from World War IX, some punk rockers, Johnny Celentano and Justin Milkman. They're here because they're talking about, well, they're carpet bombing us with entertainment, a new label, new singer, album, video, comic book series, just about everything. Let's start with you, Johnny. You've been brought in to shake things up, is that right?
Sure. Yeah, it's good to be here. How are you doing?
Pretty good. What's your background before they looked to you for the new inspiration?
Well, I was singing in a band before I met these guys called Citizen Blast Kane, and before that I was doing comedy rap. So I'd been like hanging around New Jersey, making stupid jokes and making friends laugh for a while, and then these guys saw me and said, "Hey, we need a guy." So I was the guy. I'm like their fourth singer. I'm their Henry Rollins of this group, if you will.
Well, speaking of that, Justin, you know, I'm in my 50s and I'm a huge punk fan, and I grew up going to, I'm from the Bay Area, so the Rock on Broadway here in the city, which is basically across the street from where I am right now on Broadway, and the Keystone in Berkeley. And I saw Black Flag, and I saw the Circle Jerks and those guys. I had a chance to see DK, and I passed it up, which I'll always regret. But what's your background in the whole biz, Justin?
In the punk rock biz? I mean, I was a record collector, and I just worshipped rock and roll. You know, I was worshiping it from afar, and it was very dramatic. On like my 28th birthday, I said, "You know what? I got to give this a shot. This is ridiculous." You know what I mean? I didn't want to just be a fan. I wanted to jump in and partake. And I'm 52 now, so you know, it's been a glorious ride. A couple of bands. Really what it was I saw a very close friend's band, and they were excellent. And it was the first friend's band that was really good. So I figured, well, if my friends can do it, I can do it. So that's how I got in on it.
When I was, I think about the fanzines, and I remember in the early 80s in the Bay Area, we had something called Maximum Rock and Roll, which I love, but it wasn't per se a comic book, although it did have comics in it. So what's the comic end of World War IX?
I was doing comics first. I did a comic. I was doing like short, little, funny things that would happen to the band for a paper that was distributed downtown New York City in bars. And I just, you know, I started to eventually have enough of this collection to just put a book together, make my first comic book. And then I'm a rock bio fanatic. So I got the bright idea to do a rock bio of World War IX because no one else was going to do it. So I did it, and it was a lot of fun, and it took 4 years to complete. It's four different issues, and they're, you know, between 24 and 32 pages each. And it was a labor of love. It was, you know, it's the kind of thing where even if something horrible happens, you say, you know what? We'll put it in the comic. We'll put it in the comic. You know, it makes for a funny experience, you know, in a comic book, even though it might suck while it's happening. You know, like a crappy show or, you know, a van breaks down, the classic stuff.
Terrible tour.
Yeah. Terrible tour. No, never. Actually, no, that's not true. We did have... I don't know if you read any of the books, but Yeah, it's warts and all. Warts and all.
Well, let me ask you, speaking, by the way, with World War IX's Johnny Celentano and Justin Milkman, over the years, having this show, got to know Joey S-Head from DOA. He's been in a couple times. Also, Vlad from the Dwarves. He's been in a few times. Really good guy. So who for you on the way up kind of maybe took you under your wing? And then, you know, contrastly, maybe who was kind of a jerk?
Jeez, took us under. Well, for me in Jersey, the guys in AOD were really nice to us.
Cool.
Bruce Wingate and those guys, they like put us on their bill a couple times, and they were really, really nice to us, and you know, always liked our videos and everything like that. So that was a big kick in the hiney. That felt good, you know. Those guys like love those dudes, Godzilla, all that stuff. Great stuff.
All right, and for you, Justin, the new, is it a single or an EP, Phoning It In?
Let's call it an EP. It's a 10-inch vinyl, and it's also available digitally. But we wanted, you know, this is the first record with Johnny, and we wanted to do something special. So as a record collector, who doesn't love a 10-inch? So cool, right? It's a novelty.
Isn't it funny how we went from vinyl to CDs to digital, and now the kids today, they're going back to the vinyl.
They sure are.
Some are doing cassettes, which is, yeah.
I had 8 tracks.
I don't even have a tape player anymore, but I see a lot of bands with tapes now.
By the way, how did the sales go, Justin, on the World War IX COVID face masks?
They went fine. They went okay. You know, it's a weird thing because, you know, it's the sales were good, but this whole COVID thing was, to me, antithetical to rocking. You know, like, I would see pictures of bands in the recording studio or in rehearsal spaces wearing masks, and I was just like, oh, man, that just looks depressing. You know what I mean? I mean, you got to do what you got to do. So we waited it out. We waited till everyone got vaccinated, and we just started rehearsing again. And, you know, eventually shows will come around again. But to answer your question, the sales were good.
So, Johnny, for your style, this is some partying stuff. This is up-tempo kind of headbanger stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was, like, kind of inspired by Keith Morris and Jello Biafra, and I'm sure you could kind of hear that in my vocals.
Isn't it funny, like, Keith Morris, I think Bill Stevenson was kind of like, he tagged along with him before he became the drummer for the Descendants. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about how it's kind of a small knit community, huh?
Yeah, I guess everybody knew each other back then. I mean, everybody kind of knows each other now. Everybody who's in a band in the city, we all kind of played with each other. It's just the scene isn't what it was, you know?
Do you guys still, like, hang out in the East Village like an homage to the old CBGB days?
I do. it's kind of relocated to Brooklyn, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. There is one great, 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 great bar that puts on free shows. It's called Otto Shrunken Head, and that's kind of like our home base in Manhattan, and then we just play all over. You know, Johnny's great because he gets his shows in Jersey. And, you know, there's many more places to play in Brooklyn. And it's got more of a wild, you know, like a wild, no-holds-barred type feel.
I'm not a musician or a singer, but I did live out kind of a mini fantasy. A few years ago, they had live punk karaoke here in the city at the Bottom of the Hill Club. And on bass was the late, great Steve Soto from Agent Orange. We had Stan Lee of the Dickies on lead guitar.
Wow.
And I got to sing Nervous Breakdown on
Damn.
Stage. It's actually in the background on my Twitter account because it was such a thrill for me. But who are some
That's
of the
great song too.
Yeah, who are some of the guys that you got to play with that you're kind of looking around going, wow, I can't believe I'm on the same stage with these guys?
I'll go real fast. We played with Gangrene, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Playing with Anti-Scene was cool, but playing with Sloppy Seconds has got to be my favorite because they're one of my favorite bands.
Mm.
You know, it's such a treat to be like, well, I'm going to go to the show anyway, and I get to play. You know what I mean? It's really cool. We played with Gutter Mouth once, but the singer got mad at me in the back because I was giving my friends beers.
Well, how I met Justin, we played a show with Murphy's Law, my old band in World War IX. Right. Yeah.
So, Justin, what was your worst hell gig where the van pooped out or you didn't get paid or got a beer thrown at your head? What was the biggest hell gig so far?
I would say we opened for, I like how you said so far. we played with the Murder Junkies, which was pretty exciting. Place was packed, and the PA cut out. Half the PA was working during our set and nobody else's. So we fell on our faces, and it was like a flop. You know, it was really, really annoying because all the lights were green on this gig. It was going to be super fun. All of our friends were going to be there. And the PA just crapped out during our set, and it was good for the band before us. It was good for the band after us. And, of course, after the show, everyone comes up to me and goes, "What happened?" So that was a nightmare. That sucks.
Yeah, like it's your fault.
And, Johnny, when you look for a new punk label, obviously the country of Turkey, right?
Oh, the Turkish record label for me was like a brilliant fit. I'm a big fan of all the Turkish ripoff movies, the Turkish ETs and, you know, your Turkish
Turkish Rambos. The Turkish Star Wars is one of the most horrifying things, and I actually sat through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name of that one. That's good stuff.
Something horrible. Justin, last question for you. I'm always surprised, you know, like we're about the same age, but I'll go to a punk show and I'll see 18-year-olds who are way into it. And I kind of think, wow, I thought we were like all like getting old. I'm surprised that there are new young punks. What is it that it just keeps going?
It's easy to play. It's super fun. It's high energy, so when you're a kid and you got a lot of energy to spare, it's punk rock. You know, there's something that's still very much, you could just go to these shows with total abandon, be yourself. You know, there is a community, and it's you know, it's very different than the rock scene. You know, the punk rock scene is very, very inclusive. I've played in a few other types of bands, and I always go back to punk rock because it's easy and fun.
Well, check out all the new stuff from World War IX, including Phoning It In, and you can go to worldwar9.bandcamp.com, and that's 9IX, like Roman numerals, and of course the label Kafadon Kontakt with 3Ks. And there they are, Johnny Celentano and Justin Melkman, World War IX. Hey, if you guys are ever in San Francisco, come on in the studio, man.
Definitely. Thanks for having us.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for having us, bud.
No doubt about it. My pleasure. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Byline.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-880-7167. 800-880-7167. That's 800-880-7167. Paid for by Airtime Media.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right. Call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
Can I be real with you right now? I mean, like, really, really real?
Yes.
I just thought about going out there for the second half, and a little bit of pee came out.
Rick Tittle, you done broke my heart, but I still take you back. You hella fine.
All right, Dominic just alerted me to one of the most incredible pieces of base running in the history of baseball at any level. And that is Javi Baez against the Pittsburgh Pirates. There was a man on second base. Javi Baez grounds to third with two outs. The guy flips it over to first. He draws the first baseman in a couple steps. So he starts to just kind of jog towards Baez, who doesn't give himself up. He starts backpedaling towards home plate. And he keeps going. And the first baseman's loafing. He's kind of like, all right, you know, take a step, take a step. He's not running at him. Now here comes the runner from second. He's burning in. Uh-oh, now they flip it to the catcher. He slides in head first. It's too late. And Javi Baez is standing an inch in front of the home plate. And so then the ball gets away and he takes off. And he goes to first and they throw that away. And he runs to second and it gets away from the second baseman, but not far enough. It's one of the most humiliating things I have ever seen. But it's also one of the most smart, mocking. And the only thing that can save the Pirates is if they win this game now. But even if the Cubs lose, this will go down. I mean, I've never seen a guy not give him. I mean, I've seen guys refuse to get tagged, but you don't get a run out of it. It's usually kind of a move like, and the thing is, all you do is you just turn around and you run towards first base. But the guy comes tearing in, so it was just, and it's hard to blame the Pirates because, as I said, in the history of baseball, this has never resulted in a run. So we got to look at it a whole new way. Go to the ballpark. You'll see something you've never seen before. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.